Good morning, it's Joey Shimataro, and I'm here with Ken Hecht. Ken Hecht is the man that moved here. How long ago did you move here?
About a year and a half ago. I think it was November of about a year and a half.
A year and a half. And you, when was the first time that you came to Gloucester?
Oh, man, it was probably 20 or 30 years ago. I'm from Chicago originally, but I married a Wakefield girl.
Okay.
And I met her the very first night when I came here 30 years ago.
And would you say you have a love affair with the city?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great spot.
And have you seen, in your opinion, have you seen a progression from what it was to what it is today and in a positive light? And what are some of the things from that you would say have been positive improvements from the first, bunch of years you came here to now?
Well, I never really even knew, being more of a tourist, that there was a Main Street. And Main Street is unbelievable. we live on Main Street now, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I can walk to 17 restaurants.
Great restaurants. I'm talking about
real restaurants. I'm not even including the sub shops and the donut places and everything. So it's just unbelievable. The music, the art. So I don't have a good context as much as, what it was a year ago or 5 years ago. We started coming here seriously with some friends who lived in Magnolia, who really were the people who were instrumental, along with some other folks in town here, to get us to come and visit. Mm-hmm. And then our son was an intern at the Shaolin Lu for a summer 3 years ago.
Oh.
So that really reeled us in to wow,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And our friends are, why don't you just move here? Why are you stuck out in the middle of nowhere? And we agreed with them, and we acted on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I should say the place you moved from would be, you'd consider it a bedroom community.
Oh, yeah.
And Gloucester is anything but a bedroom community.
Oh.
And that's part of the allure for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. The activity, the community, the stuff that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. It's you just can't go to everything. It's so much. You
and
can't
attend. 90% of it's free.
Right.
And they're great, and you have to make a lot of, especially weekends, you have to make decisions on, what am I going to miss? Because there's only so much time in the day, and there's overlap of all these great community events happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to back up a little bit. We're going to talk about you personally and your background. We won't go too deep into it, but you're a developer of sorts that you've invested in Gloucester. You bought what was the name of that bank?
The Gloucester Safe Deposit Trust Company, I think it's called.
And it's on the corner of Duncan
and Main.
Yeah. Right abutting the fire station, the police station.
Yeah, between the police station and Alchemy.
And Alchemy.
Yeah.
There you go. So people can get it. For years, driving by that building, admire the architecture of it.
Beautiful.
And it's a rock solid. It's made out of granite and brick. And,
yeah, exactly.
It's just beautiful. And I don't know that I'd ever been in that building in my youth, but I had always looked at it and said, and it had kind of sat fallow for a lot of years, and saying, geez, someone's going to make something great out of that place. And here you come along, and it must have just made sense to you. And how did it go down where, you were coming to Gloucester anyway, and that particular space made sense to you?
Well, we're looking for office space and a place to live. So we looked at all kinds of houses all over the place, and we couldn't really find, what we wanted exactly. And then I looked at the building for office space, and it was for sale, and I figured, we'll buy it and we'll put our office in there. And I walked up to the third floor apartment, and even though it was 30-year-old vintage, sort of Austin Powers-y, what I'm saying? It was
yep.
It hadn't been done in 30
absolutely.
Years. The bones were unbelievable. Mm. So I called my wife. I go, Patty, you have to come over here and check this out and see if you see what I see. And she comes in, and she's like, let's do it. So it was over in 10 seconds of the love affair with being downtown and that building.
It's nice to have a wife that will get behind a project like that, and say, this makes sense, and let's go for it. Yeah.
Oh, and she's been so instrumental in all the whole
design.
Does
she do a lot of the design stuff?
Oh, my God. She's incredible with all the
good eye.
I do the pipes behind the walls, and she does all the stuff you see.
There you go.
So all that stuff you see, that's all her.
We should mention the Trident Gallery is there.
Yeah, Trident Gallery, Matt Swift. He's just unbelievable. He's doing great. He has all these exhibitions all the time, live art and music and art and art. It's just awesome.
It's active. It's not just a staid gallery. He has exhibits coming in and going out, and there's performances, and you know, they're very active in promoting these people's work, and it's very diverse, the work inside there. It's changing. It's not just a, you know, you see the same pieces. Like, you could go in there every 2 weeks and see different pieces, which is really nice.
Yeah.
It's like it's museum quality pieces that you don't have to pay for. You just show up and peruse the place.
Exactly. And I'd like to think someone buys something there every once in a while.
Be very nice.
So I'd like to encourage that.
Buy that.
On behalf of Matt.
Yeah, buy stuff. Don't just come for the openings and drink the free wine.
Exactly. Buy something.
There you go. Buy stuff. And then and Alex and Ani, which is very popular.
Right.
Women's jewelry. Yeah, men's probably. I don't know. If do they have men's stuff too?
I don't think so. Well, no. I mean, a man can buy it, I guess. But it's typically a woman's thing. But that's Blue River Diamonds. But their big thing is the line of Alex and Ani, which is just ridiculously popular and really cool. I bought a bunch of it for all the women in my family, like my mom and my sisters and nieces and stuff. I bought them all the exact same one that was So whenever they put them on, they all think of each other.
Very nice.
So that's a good idea.
I bought one for my mom and my sister as well.
Yeah. Well, go buy.
Support Alex and Ani.
That's it. Support the Blue River Diamonds.
There you go. So there you have that. And then you have I should mention, we did a video tour of the before. I haven't done the after video tour.
We can do that.
Which we should do, you know, within the next couple of weeks. But the space that you have on the first, or the basement floor, I don't know what you call it, but like, it still has windows. So I don't think
We call it the lower level.
The lower level. This was an old bank building, so there's some of the old safes. You kept them they're ready to... I'm saying it right now. The first person that wants to open up a wine bar, this space is the perfect space, because that safe is calling out to be a wine cellar. It's all laid out for you. Just show up and bring in the tables. And the space is ready to go. It's beautiful. The brick, exposed brick. I mean, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there's a marble floor and part of it. There's a night deposit safe. There's another safe. There's another vault. There's a huge vault. It's just, everyone loves the space. It's
anybody cool. with any kind of vision and restaurant and wine, I want to invest in that one. If anybody comes along, give me a little piece.
They better hurry, because we've got a lease out to someone who's not a restaurateur.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, but it would be a really cool use. I got to keep it under my hat for the moment. But once we sign it up, I can let you know.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Good. I like that. Insider information. I love it.
Yeah.
But the job, I should say that it's nice to have someone that comes in and spends money in town and doesn't do schlock. Like, it's obvious by the quality and of the materials that you use, and that you didn't just come in and wipe out the facade and do some crazy design. You pay homage to the history of that building. You maintained a lot of the architectural artifacts of aspects of that were there originally, and you enhanced them. So
exactly.
And here you are, a guy that invested in downtown, spent money here, and I presumably you're paying more to the city in taxes than that building was bringing in before.
Right. Yeah.
So everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
You know, it's not only like this rehabbing of old historic buildings. Everyone wants them. And so it's a good business strategy to bring them back in a correct way.
Mm.
It's, you know, if the location warrants it. Mm. And then you can spend the money and invest the money. And then people, when they're renting, they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a way to give back, and it's a way to try and make something make sense too, if you do a good job on a historic building.
Right. Yeah, it's not all charity.
You know, there is a business purpose for it.
Absolutely, and they, you know, and a lot of people can appreciate that. Some people, you know, they can't stand the thought that someone would make some money. But well,
that one's way over budget, so I don't think I don't think anyone should worry about that.
Well, there you go. So are there now the process? How far along? The lower level is in the process of being rented. So you have, is everything, it's 100%
rented. So we've got three apartments and we've got three commercial spaces.
Yeah.
So we live in the apartment on the third floor. Mm-hmm. Then we have the two apartments on the second floor, which we created out of office space.
Mm-hmm.
They're rented, great people. And then the first floor is rented to the art gallery and to Blue River Diamonds. And then lower level, we got a lease out. So in a little over a year, it went from start of like planning a scratch in your head to like fully all constructed, permitted, leased.
Is that a testament to your team in conjunction with the people that you had to deal with the city? Do you feel that your permitting process was a favorable thing? Would you encourage other developers to come and spend money? I know these might be your competitors in the future, but like, how did you feel you were treated as a business person in the city?
Well, I thought we were treated great. Really, the building department is really who we dealt with the most, because in downtown, and this was recently done, you can have three units above in a commercial building. You can have three apartment units by right, or condos, mm-hmm. which I guess was put in 2, 3, 4 years ago. Yep. I mean, it's a fairly new change.
Yep.
And so as a result, we didn't have to go and get special permits and zone changes and all kinds of stuff that we might deal with in other places. In this case, it was a by right project, so we really dealt with the building department. Mm-hmm. And those guys, they understood. Once they understood a little bit about the quality we're talking about and who we're all using, all local guys, you know, Chris Palazzola, Noble, you know, Joe Kingston, yeah. you know, from Danvers, and just, you know, local guys.
Yeah, Chris Palazzolo, we should mention, you know, he puts up the altar for St. Joseph's every year.
Oh, he's been doing that for like 20 or 30 years.
Steve Noble, I can't even begin to rattle off all the stuff that he donates his time and energy into community projects and stuff like that. So when you came, was that a conscious decision you made that you wanted to use local people, because a lot of times you know you might be able to save some money and get some outside of town outfit to come in, but is that something that's important to you, to try to use local people when you can?
Absolutely. I mean, we're really into, you know, giving back to the local economy, and we try and buy everything local, my wife and I, if we can. And but I also, from a business perspective, the responsiveness of someone local is like, they're literally right down the street.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, theoretically anyways, it should be good pricing because they're so close and they right. can just do the deal. They don't have to come from New Hampshire or something and right. put all that drive time in, where someone's paying for that drive time.
Yeah.
So I think it's, again, it's a good thing to do. And the things we look for are, how can we help the community and how can it also make economic sense? So
right.
I think that's one of those instances.
Mm-hmm. Now, who in the building department were the people that you dealt with mostly?
Oh, Donald was terrific in the building department. Charlie, the electrical inspector, Mr. Guzzo, the plumbing, Bill Sanborn running the whole show. But these guys, like, they would really work in cooperation with us. And
you didn't feel like it was antagonistic
no.
or anything like that. You felt like it was a really good process. That's great.
Oh, absolutely.
That's nice to know. It'd be, you know what I mean? Because you know, these people are, you know, people should know that you can come to Gloucester and it's a welcoming business environment. It's not, you know, they're not out to lynch you because you're trying to do something nice for the community.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, that would be a natural, you know, it should be that way anyway. But, you know, I think that Gloucester's come a long way in the past 10 years with the people that the administration has put in place to do these jobs. I think they have a better understanding of what these business people that are investing their time and money and energy, what they're up against. And they're not, I don't think they're as antagonistic as
no.
they may have been in the past.
I think the word I would use would be professional.
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals, and they know their business. They go about their business. They have to do certain things. We can't be standing around waiting for, you know, an inspection. And these guys they'd flow right into our project, and we didn't have holdups.
Responsive.
Yeah, very responsive, and we could work with them, and it was great. And yet, they're by the book, which I like, because
yeah.
read the book, that's the rules.
Beautiful.
And that's what how you do it.
There you go. Now, it's funny, you just got here a year ago, but like I feel like I can't drive downtown without seeing you coming in or going out of one of these local shops, or the Lone Gull, or down at Stone's, or at the restaurants. You are a downtown person.
Totally.
No question.
We you know, I wish that I never had any of those passport muffins. You know what I'm saying? the popovers?
The popovers, yeah.
I mean, they're single-handedly responsible for these love handles. I mean, you know? But you know, Stone's is great. That's one of our favorites. But this, like, we go to all the restaurants here. It's just incredible.
What are some of your favorite dishes in town?
Death row
meal, Gloucester. You have to eat in Gloucester at a restaurant. It's gonna be your last meal before they execute you. What is it gonna be?
Well, my wife, I know Patty, would say it would be the duck poutine at Alchemy, which was basically duck smothered in cheese over French fries.
Oh, man.
So that was incredible. That was cardio on a plate. Mine, oh, my God, you got the Minglewood pizzas. You got Passport. Ooh, God. You got some of those sandwiches down at Stone's, the sweet potato fries at Stone's. Mm. Oh, my God. So it's Franklin's amazing. Jalapenos. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on.
It does.
When we bring people here, our friends who are from Chicago or out of town, and we're like, what do you want to do tonight? And they're just like blown away. How can you have all these quality restaurants?
I know.
How can you do it?
Well, that was part of the Renaissance. It wasn't that way 15 years ago. There was a couple of upscale restaurants. There was the White Rainbow, which is, I think, oh, it was where Dog Bar was. And then there was just one or two other restaurants. And then a place called Au Beaujolais came into town. Hmm. And they opened up down on Union Hill, where it's now the dog grooming place, I believe. But it was a beautiful room, like dark. You know, they had a very knowledgeable wine guy. And you walked in there, they were very friendly. They moved from that space to downtown where the Franklin was and opened up Café Beaujolais and continued the tradition of this really upscale kind of thing. And then Eric Lorden was getting going with Passports.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then the Franklin took over where Café Beaujolais was. And then now, Mark McDonough came into town and he's mm-hmm. blown up a couple places, made some fantastic space. And La Trattoria, I mean, the laundry list is crazy. And never mind the breakfast places on top of that. Gloucester is a place where I would say 15 years ago, people from Manchester would look down their nose at. And now these same people are killing themselves to get to on the weekends for dinner and dining options and to hang out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that Gloucester, downtown Gloucester, is the downtown of much more than Gloucester. Mm-hmm. It's the downtown of maybe, there's 28,000 people in Gloucester. It's probably the downtown for 60,000 people when you figure Manchester, Essex, yeah. Ipswich, you know, people coming from Beverly Farms. I mean,
yeah.
Just
question. Yeah.
It's the downtown for a big area.
It is. We should also give props to Rockport in the last couple of years. They're just starting to get their act together. I think they changed their liquor license, and then they had, you know, here's an example of something that I have hard time wrapping my mind around, but there was a lot of locals in Rockport that fought the Shaolin Lu from coming into town.
Wow.
And I to this day, I don't understand what the rationale for fighting that project to come into town, but they did fight it. Luckily, it got through. And now the big push for the retailers down there is to, you know, maybe try to have some places stay open a little later so that, it's not one of those places where they roll up the sidewalks at night. But there's a group of downtown merchants and community people in Rockport that have gotten their act together, and they're starting to have these like harvest festival kind of thing in the fall and the spring festivals, and they have a farmers market there now. So they've come a long way as well. So Cape Ann's getting their act together. I think Gloucester's way out in front, but each town has stuff to offer, but downtown Gloucester, Jesus, has come so far.
Love living here. Yeah. I mean, it's just a joy to live in downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now your coffee. I see you at the Low and Go. What's your what are you ordering when you go into that?
I got a heart condition, so I ordered the decaf.
Just a regular decaf?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
Throw some milk in there, some cinnamon.
That coffee's fantastic. We have a lot of good coffee places. Now, do you have at the house, do you make coffee at the house or no?
I make it for my wife.
You do? Oh, yeah. Nice. Very nice. Do you have a Keurig?
No. Use a Melito and the old-fashioned way. Grind it up, throw some hot water into the Melito, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
Those plastic
drip.
Yeah, just
drip coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's interesting because it seems like everybody's getting these Keurig.
Yeah, right.
Now. And I haven't found... I use one, but I haven't found a coffee that can duplicate my Lone Gull or Cape Ann Coffee or Pleasant Street Tea and Coffee Company coffee. But Jesus, the ease of use and the ease of cleanup, I understand why they're taking off. But
absolutely.
But we're lucky that they haven't come up with a coffee that can compete with our local coffee shops yet.
Yeah, and you know, it's just, I love going to these places.
Seeing
you know?
People, right? It's a social thing,
hanging out, the music's playing, everyone's happy.
That's how we met each other this morning.
Yeah,
I had spoken to the people I was having coffee with this morning, and I had mentioned, geez, I'm dying to get a hold of Ken Hecht. to do a podcast, because I know we had some interesting things that I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your experience.
Right.
You know, as a basically a follow-up to when you were in the process of renovating that building. I wanted to see how your experience had been. And, you know, if you wanted to talk about anything coming up. So, it was one of those things. We got to, you know, the meeting places, the coffee shops are invaluable to vibrant downtowns.
Absolutely. I got a friend who says, like, the quality is like, can you walk down, and how many coffee shops are there?
There you go.
And that's like, so if we got, we're blessed here. God, it's great.
I say all the time that Sam Park up at Gloucester Crossing should, you know, there's still a bunch of places that are unrented up
there.
Yeah,
right.
I say all the time that he ought to, like, subsidize or give a really good deal to the Cape Ann Coffee people or to the Longell people, the places, whoever wants to come in there and put a good coffee shop up there with some leather couches and, you know, not Starbucks, but, you know, like Longell, like that kind of like a place where if these, like, soccer moms or, the, you know, these people that they drop off their kids at school and they're going to go to Market Basket and then they meet up with their girlfriends, they have their coffee. And I think it would benefit. I think any other spaces that were up there would, like, the traffic that it would drive up there, just people getting their coffee. And you also have the Ace Hardware, which is up there. So you have all the construction workers.
Right.
They'll get their coffee. I think if they just... I'm surprised no one's taken the leap and put a good coffee shop up there.
Hmm.
I don't know if the rents just aren't conducive to it.
I'm sure he's talked to various parties. You know, it didn't help that Five Guys went out, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's true. But, I mean, that was also a big... I don't think you need that big of a space in that high... Yeah. You know, I don't know. You believe me, I'm not questioning your real estate experience, but I don't know. That's my thought process anyway.
Yeah, helpful.
I could talk about real estate all day long. I could, yeah. So anyway, hopefully we see more good things. But your synopsis is that you came, you invested, and you're not scared off.
No. In fact, I mean, I just think that it's a terrific place to invest. I really do. It's got such character here. I mean, we were just talking about it. Why is everyone so, like, they seem very united here. I know there's different people, different groups and such, but, and I have my own theory that, it's a startling statistic, but approximately 10,000 people have lost their lives at sea out of Gloucester. Mm-hmm. And we have a community, it's just my take, that has come together thousands of times, time after time, and consoled one another and like held hands, that develops over hundreds of years a very unique community that other people just don't have. Like, the word community is thrown around way too much.
Yeah. Not here.
This place
Not here,
is a community.
Yeah,
this is really a community. You know?
No question.
It's just incredible. Really.
My theory is that we have hard left and hard right here, but I think the love of place and all the different things that happen here, it's, you know, people may fall on different sides of, you know, these political things, but you can't deny Good Harbor Beach. You can't deny the restaurant scene.
That place is spiritual.
Right? I mean, you can't deny. I mean, Good Harbor is one of 10, like Half Moon Beach, Cressy's Beach, you know, all these, Lane's Cove, all these special, special places that mean so much to so many people that, you know, and I'm not taking shots at these bedroom communities, but they just don't, you know, they may have one or two places, whereas Gloucester and Cape Ann in general has, you know, dozens and dozens of special places, so that people can rally around and stuff. So it's great talking to you, Ken. Is there anything you want to add before we sign out?
Just great to be here. Everyone's been terrific to us, and we're very fortunate to have gotten that building, because I think it allowed us to meet just a whole bunch of people, including yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I should say, people come down and go down and check out the Trident Gallery. And it's Alex Anaya, or is it Blue Nile on the sign?
Blue River Diamonds.
Blue River
is
Diamonds.
The actual retailer. So they do wedding rings. They're a full jeweler. Okay. Anything you want, watches, batteries. You need a battery. You need a watch fixed.
Carry the Alex and Ani line, but they're a full service jewel.
Oh, big time! Yeah, that's the thing that people I think would be well served to understand. They got it right here in Gloucester.
Beautiful. Well, for Joey Shimataro, my guest Ken Hecht, thanks for listening to us. Ken, thanks for having me here.
Oh, are you kidding me? My pleasure. Thank
Fantastic. You, well, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.